Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
Today, we are going to learn how to turn your family traditions into holiday unit studies with our special guest, Melissa Brander. Welcome, Melissa, and thank you so much for joining us. Well, I just say rejoining us. You're back as a repeat guest, and I'm super excited to talk to you. So welcome back.
Thank you so much, Peggy. I'm super excited to be back here again. It was wonderful to be back here. And if you want to check out my other episode that I recorded, you can go ahead and look for that. It's all about library resources. So I'm excited to be back today talking about creating unit studies out of your family traditions surrounding the holidays. And because I think this is going to be really helpful and hopefully help you relax a little bit about the holidays and feel like there are lots of opportunities for learning in a lot of the things you're already doing. So I'm so excited to be here and share with you today, Peggy.
Yeah, I'm excited too, because last time when we chatted on library things, you blew my mind as to, you know, what we could do at the library. And I thought I was pretty well versed in the library. So so if you're just popping in and thinking, you know, well, you know, we can kind of build family traditions, you've got to listen to Melissa, because she has some great out of the box things that ways that she thinks and uses resources. And so you'll definitely want to join this conversation. And we do want you to be part of this conversation. If you're joining us live, pop into the feed either on Facebook or YouTube and let us know that you're there. Say hi, let us know where you're watching from. And also just any questions you might have, like, okay, well, we've got this family tradition. What are some ideas that you have? And we'll brainstorm with you and help you come up with that stuff. So you aren't going, well, this is all great information, but I don't know how to apply this. That's why we're live, and we would love to help you out. And if you have any friends that you think may be interested in this topic, share this. Send them an email with the link to the YouTube. Tag them on Facebook. Do, you know, whatever you want to do, and we will we'll make sure that we address that. And we have Ken already watching us from Colorado. Welcome, Ken. We are glad that you are with us. So yes, and we understand homeschool moms, homeschool dads, homeschooling parents that are single, that are working. The homeschooling community itself has grown so much. And so, Melissa, I would love for you, first of all, to just share a little bit of your background and your story. It's Ginger from Colorado. She must be using her husband's YouTube account. So, well, welcome, Ginger. We're glad to have you with us. But yeah, so just a little bit about your background and your homeschooling experiences and just, you know, how you kind of found yourself homeschooling, first of all, and then we're going to dive into the topic as we gain some more viewers. So yeah, let's kick that off.
Yeah, of course. I'm Melissa and I run Pocket Homeschool, and my kids, I have two boys, they're 8 and 10, and we've been really fortunate that they've been homeschooled their whole lives. And so we live in the Midwest and we spend a lot of times exploring a lot of different subjects and a lot of different ideas and books, and just there's so many ideas out there and so many wonderful resources that we have. I do happen to live in a major metro area, and so we have a lot of museums and beaches and other awesome things that we get to explore. Yeah. And I run Pocket Homeschool, which is a website where I focus on what I call smart learning, which is simple to implement, meaningful family experiences, academically oriented, reasonably priced tools for explorative learning. And awesome. So I think all of this, what we're talking about today with it fits into that in like creating those meaningful family experiences and finding simple ways that you can extend the learning about your family traditions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah. And when Melissa and I were talking early on in the year, I mean, like she said, it's hard to believe that this episode has already come up because we planned them so far out, and just with the type of focus that she has, this just fits so well. And so actually this whole month, we're going to be talking about unit studies and holiday unit studies specifically. And so this is just the first of five episodes. We have five in November. And so usually it's four that we focus on. We thought, well, we're going to have enough content to get you through the holidays and beyond. maybe for many years to come. But yeah, so that's kind of our focus here in November, this year of 2022. So Melissa, as we think about that unit study, that's something for like me, an old homeschooler, I'm very familiar with. Unit studies are, you know, just one of those main methodologies for homeschooling that I was introduced to way back when. But for new homeschoolers, I think it isn't as clear of a line drawn, because there's just so much curriculum out there that some use a unit study approach, but they aren't specifically called unit studies. So what does it mean when we say we're going to do a unit study?
That's a really great question. And I think, like, for me, when I think about defining a unit study, I think the best way that I have to think about it is, instead of starting with a subject area like math, reading, etc., you're starting with a topic. Like in this one, we would be talking about traditions. And so then you're looking at that topic through the lens of saying, okay, how can we incorporate different types of learnings about this same topic, and everything is kind of oriented around a similar topic or theme. And there are so many different ones. I create some sometimes on my website, and I, like, for example, I have one about Mozart and one about recycling. And so those are not subject areas, but those are topics where you're going to be exploring your different skills, your learning skills, all centered around that same subject or that same topic.
Yeah. And I know those, they tend to work for my kids well on the spectrum, who didn't like changing. They just didn't like change. And so even though we were doing, like, maybe something related to history and then something related to reading or writing, it was all based around that one topic. So it almost didn't seem like a transition to them. And so that made it a whole lot easier. And so I know early on when I was starting to look at curriculums, that it just made a lot of sense to me that my kids were going to, it wasn't going to be as abrupt of a change throughout the day if we were focusing all around that one subject.
I think the nice thing about unit studies is that you can go all in and make a whole curriculum out of unit studies, or you can just incorporate one and do it alongside the other learning that you do. So they're really flexible in that sense, in that you can use them in a lot of different ways. They can be just a part. You can just take some time and explore one area on the side, or you can make that everything that you're doing for a while. So you can really do it in whatever different way works best for your family.
Absolutely. And that's such a good point, that that we can kind of customize it the way that it best works for a family. There's no one way to do it right, and that really you can't do it wrong. So that makes it super easy. Creative Minds Homeschooling is joining us too on YouTube. Welcome. There's so many ways. And so that's why I'm super excited to be spending this entire month and having some different people speak into this topic, because they're each going to approach this in a very different manner. And how awesome is that, that you get all these different ideas, and, you know, one guest may relate better to you than another one, and their approach. But I'm excited that we're going to talk about family traditions, because Melissa and I were talking about this prior to the broadcast getting started. And it seems like the holidays, we feel like we've got all these things we got to fit in. And I know for me too, especially since my husband comes from a family that has a lot of traditions, and some of them are pretty crazy. I don't even know how they got incorporated into what we call holiday traditions. but you know, it isn't the holidays for him if we don't do them. And so you can kind of feel this stress, like I'm homeschooling, yet I've got all this other stuff that we should be working on and incorporating, and we don't want to make this more stressful for you. And that's why we're talking about holiday traditions.
After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
What are some other reasons that a family might want to create a unit study using holiday traditions?
I think one of the best reasons to create a unit study out of using holiday traditions, besides because they're already something that you're doing, is because it can really foster that sense of family closeness. It can also connect you into your history, like your personal family history, or if it's a tradition that many people participate in, it can also connect you to the bigger history of that tradition. Because not all traditions are unique, right? Some traditions, many people participate in. And part of family unit study about the traditions that you have could be researching the history of that tradition. Where did it come from? Who is the first people who started doing this? Because there is oftentimes, if it's something that a lot of people do, there's history tied to it that can be surprising. Right. And it can also open the door to these conversations about history and about other subject areas and just about what's important to you as a family. Like maybe you have never sat down and thought about why your family does these traditions, what it is about these traditions are important to your family. And so sharing that with your kids really builds a sense of family and togetherness in your in your family.
That's so true. We get into these modes where we're doing things, but we aren't discussing what's behind them. I mean, there's some like crazy things, you know, people talk about, you know, recipes and cutting off the end of something, you know, and, and I just remember reading, I don't remember what the recipe was, but, and then it was like carried on down the line and people are like, why do you make the roast that way? And it's like, well, because mom did that. And then they find out like grandma, great grandma down here, the reason she did it is because her pan was too small, you know? Yeah. We have no idea why we do what we do. And so there that learning that's involved, why did it get started? You know, and it can apply to so many things and create such a depth and wealth of conversation with our kids. And really make us as parents revisit why do we do what we do? And maybe even start some new traditions too. Yes. You never know. So that's powerful because we can come sometimes just go through the paces of life. And I think sometimes, you know, holidays end up being that way, but homeschooling can also be that way. For sure. And so you, getting back to why are we doing this and then being purposeful with it with your own kids. And that's a good life lesson in general. Yes. Instead of just saying, well, we've always done it this way, you know, let's revisit what's the meaning behind it and make it more meaningful overall. So any other reasons that a family might want to create a unit study using family traditions?
I mean, sometimes it's just fun to do something a little different around the holidays, especially if you need to take a little break around your holidays, but you don't want to take like a complete break. Yeah. It can be nice to fill in something so you feel like you're still getting in some learning without having to take a full break. Because I know for some kids, that routine of still continuing on with doing learning activities is really important because having a shift in that routine is really hard for some kids. So it can be better sometimes to keep schooling even when it might feel like you want to take a break, but it might not be what's the best thing for your kids at that moment. And so having something where you can feel like, okay, we are still in our routine, but also you can take a step back a little bit and give yourself a little bit of a breather.
Yes. Yeah, that is very true. And it's going to be kind of a year by year, you know, family by family type of decisions that you make. And I know Creative Minds Homeschooling even said that we've had to let go some of our family traditions because it became too stressful with homeschool and kids' activities. And that is one extra thing, you know, activities for kids during the holidays. Yes. Like between, you know, church and other groups you go to, they have performances and all these other things that happen during that time that you do need to make room for too.
Yes. And sometimes that can be a way to figure out what traditions are really important to your family and which ones you're just doing because you feel the pressure to do them. Because sometimes when something has been done a really long time in your family, it feels hard to say, this doesn't work for us. But sometimes you need to recognize that there are traditions that no longer work for you and release yourself from that expectation of having to continue them on for the sake of continuing them on.
Right. Yes. That's a great point because we can just do them because, well, it's what we've always done versus revisiting and saying, what is the meaning or purpose? Yes. And is it really something that we want to be spending our time. And so, yeah, that push, that we get when our plates get too full. We shouldn't be saying, well, let's just power through this. I mean, nobody's going to appreciate the holidays if we're just powering through them. And we've had things with our families, like I went vegan and I took all the sugar out of my diet. And it's like, there's certain recipes I just don't even make anymore because I can't make alternatives. And it's just kind of pointless. Unfortunately, my kids are older and, you know, those traditions are well embedded in them. So that's another thing to be thinking about is you're developing traditions that you're going to have to live by now the rest of your life. And they're always going to say, and mom made this or mom did this. And then you're stuck because those are good memories for them. So, all those things to be thinking about. So what are some areas that a family could study when creating unit studies using their family traditions? Because we kind of talked a little bit about how we can take that one topic and kind of spread it out and do some creative things with it.
That's a great question. I think like the sky is kind of the limits, but to give you some like examples,
that would be
like
great.
We already talked a little bit about history and the things that you can do with history. You could potentially look at science areas depending on what your tradition is. Like for example, I know like with Christmas trees, you could do some experimentation with like the needles and different things like that. And you could also incorporate some language arts with some reading and writing. You can have them write about your traditions and what it means to you. You could have them interview family members, other family members who do traditions and have them like that skill of not only like writing out the information, but like taking in the information and then turning that information into like a paragraph or a short booklet or something that is about the traditions in your family. You could take a field trip, but there are often different places that might be associated with your tradition, or you know, if one of your traditions maybe is that like you put up a Christmas tree every year and there's going to be a big thing where a bunch of different people have decorated Christmas trees, you can go look, and that's kind of like an extension of seeing what other people do with their Christmas trees. And when I was in high school, actually, I studied German. And one of the things that we got to do is in Chicago, there's a really big German Christmas market. So we got to visit there and see like how some of the traditions are carried forward to this day. And so if you have a strong cultural traditions, you can also look for opportunities in your community if there are to experience some of those more traditions that are associated specifically with your culture. And so there's lots of different areas and lots of different ways. If you're doing cooking, you can incorporate some math into that. And so really as many ideas as you can think of, you can incorporate them. Sometimes it just takes sitting down and thinking about it a little creatively and thinking, okay, these are the things that normally we would like to cover, you know, we want to cover, do some language arts and some different things like that. And just think about it and just think for a few minutes, like, how can I tie these together? Because everyone's traditions are unique. Sometimes they're the same, but sometimes they're unique too. Even when we share traditions, no two families are going to carry out that tradition exactly the same. And so that's why it can be fun. And if you don't have any family that you're carrying on the traditions of, you could also have your kids ask their friends and learn about their friends' traditions and what they do and why they do it. And get them thinking about it and writing and doing some different things or expressing, drawing pictures of different traditions too for kids who struggle with writing or who are not ready yet for writing. So think about where your kids' levels are. Even just having them put together like a little book and say, this is our tradition book, and inside having pictures drawn of their traditions. Oh, yeah. And then they can tell you a sentence about the tradition and you can write that down in their book. And then they'll have that as a keepsake for when they get older, but also have them having thought about it and started some of those early pre-writing skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that idea about that keepsake book. And because as they do get older, you know, they you know, for a while in their teens, they're like, why do I do this? And you can say, here, you were excited about it. but you could even create one of those memory books that is like printed and have them take photographs, you know, if they don't want to be drawing pictures, but just kind of like a keepsake type of Christmas album you could even pull out every year and say, this is how we did this last year.
There are so many different ways to document it, even just beyond writing or drawing or photographs. You could have them think about taking a recording, like what are the sounds associated with our tradition? What is the music associated with our tradition? Not all traditions have music associated with them.
Right.
For me, I'm a Christian and I grew up in the church, so a lot of Christmas is associated with music for me, and I have songs that I think about. So that's another subject area you could bring in with some music. If music is a part of your tradition, you could learn the history of the songs that you sing. Where did they come from? Who wrote them? Why do we sing these songs? And what do the words really mean? Because sometimes, especially if you've grown up singing a song and it's just a part of your memory, you don't always like think about the actual words of the song.
Right.
That's some good
That's
good literary analysis, even though you might not think of it as literary analysis, to think about what a song actually means. It's a kind of poetry. And so you're incorporating that, thinking about that and looking at it like you would a poem, but instead of looking at a poem, you're looking at a song that's a part of your holiday traditions.
Yeah. Yeah. And what good material, you know, to have on a regular basis to base those annual traditions in as you're gaining that knowledge year after year with your kids. It just embeds the importance and the significance of those traditions each year. So I know
you don't have to look at it all at once. Maybe there's a lot of songs that you hold dear on the holidays. I could probably name like 10 off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Even just looking at one is more than looking at zero. And if every year you looked at a different one, eventually you would have a deeper, richer, more beautiful understanding of these songs that you sing.
We've dove into a variety of things, and my kids were never really into music, so I kind of strayed away from that. But if your family's very into music, you know, definitely go with that. My kids always liked just cultural things, and so we actually did a variety of unit studies based around different cultures, Christmas traditions, and you know, for us, my family, my husband and I are each quarter Norwegian, and so we joined the Historical Society when we lived in Minnesota, and they had a house that the Norwegian Historical Society owned, and they would decorate it for Christmas with the traditional decorations. And so we would make sure we visited there every year because they had people reenacting and doing things, making traditional recipes that I probably wasn't going to be very good at. Although we make lefse every year. If you know what that is, it's a whole time consuming thing. But you know, you just diving into that historic, but also cultural tradition can be very rewarding. Has your family done anything in that manner, or do you have anything to say about those cultural studies?
So in my church every year, we This is what I can think of that most related to that. In my church every year, we put up Christmas trees and they have these special white and gold ornaments called chrismons. And one year in the back of church, they said, oh, there's booklets that explain what each of the chrismons represents. And so then we took one home and we looked over it and we read it. And then when we went to church the next week, we were able to look and say, oh, there's the chrismon that represents this, because they all represent different like names of God or part of God's story. So we were able to connect that. And like sometimes around the holidays, it's just like keeping your ears and eyes open for those opportunities to, because that wasn't on my radar at all. Mm-hmm. And then when I heard about it, I was like, well, we could probably use this. So I picked up one of the little booklets and now we like kept it. And every year, we look at it again to remind ourselves what all those different ornaments mean. And so, That's a fun thing that I really, really incorporates both kind of tradition and our faith together. So that's a really neat opportunity. And then, of course, we have German Christmas markets. My family is primarily German, and my city just started one recently. But maybe someday I'll take them to the big one in Chicago. But it's a little bit more of a drive during a time of year when driving can be kind of sketchy in the Midwest with the weather. So it's fun.
Yeah. Well, you bring up a good point, too, in that there is so much out there that sometimes we just don't have the our eyes open looking for, because we're looking for curriculum. We're thinking, oh, you know, what is that little piece of paper going to do, or that posting on that, you know, that blog on that website. And I think Kara Sue, the dreamer, brings up a good point. Say that they celebrate Yule, winter solstice, hard to find resources. And then they mention this Beth Griffin is the only one they know. But I think if we look for those resources other than specific curriculum, we broaden our ability to have what we need to teach to those subjects.
You mentioned the Historical Society, and they can be great resources because so many historical societies do things around the holidays that show how the holidays were celebrated. Even if you don't have one nearby you, so many historical societies put a lot of their information online nowadays have educational videos and things like that. You can always search out your specific culture or your specific holidays and see what's out there, because there are so many resources now, even if you're not physically close to one. So many share videos and reading and other information, and they might not call it curriculum, but it's there that you can use to learn from.
That's a great point. There's just so much information that can be overwhelming on the on the internet. But if you're focused in on, okay, this is a tradition, or this is something that we do, and I think that's what we're really focusing on today, is we don't want to add extra work to what you're doing, but we want you to enrich and enhance the things that you normally do during the holiday season. And Melissa's been giving us some really great information and ways to find those types of resources so that you can build those traditions right into learning, into your own home and into this holiday season to just make it more meaningful and a more powerful experience too.
And it may not be something formal always. It may just be like you were doing some searching and you found a video that really explained something that you do really well. And then you watch it with your kids. And to you, it might not even seem like, was that school? But it was. And so, and it's all a part of it. And so sometimes, like, you can be intentional about it and you can sit down and say, we want to think about these different areas and focus on these in our unit study. But you can also let the learning happen more naturally and let it sort of become its own unit study, even if you never use the words unit study with your kids or anything like that. if you just start opening yourself up to the possibility of learning more about the traditions that you celebrate and that are important to you, the learning opportunities will sort of find you, because you'll have your eyes open looking for them.
Yes. And you'll have those openings in your school schedule too, yeah. Because I think sometimes we get so packed in our school day that we don't leave that time and that space for those things that are kind of impromptu that we just happen upon to happen. Like say, you know, you clear everything except for the basics out of your schedule during this holiday time. And all of a sudden you find out there's something going on, that's related to something you do as a tradition or just something your family would like to enjoy. You have time for that now to build that in. So,
for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've got quite a few viewers chatting away here.
Yes, I
want to build in some of their things. Kira Sue had said that her family is predominantly Lithuanian and that so are her paternal grandparents. And so, yeah, that's, again, identifying this is cultural. This is what we want to get. And then she asked, how do you handle cultural holiday traditions with adopted kids? Because sometimes we don't know their cultural background. Do you want to address
that?
Yeah,
I think I can, but I want to say right off the bat that I am not an expert in adoption. And so I do not want to speak for anybody. I think it's best to listen to the lived experience of people who have been adopted. So I want to say right off the bat that I've not been adopted and I've not lived that experience of being adopted. But I know that one thing that many families do is that they work on reaching out to the culture that their kids are adopted from and learning about it and incorporating that. And so I think that can be really powerful. And to look for events in your community that are around that cultural background, if they exist in your community. I know that not everywhere, depending on if you live in a really small town, you're not going to have access to as many resources, but taking them to those events where they can see people who look like them and who share that cultural background to see how they experience the holidays and the traditions, that can be really impactful, I think. From what I've learned, again, I'm not adopted, so I can't speak to that background.
Yeah, I have 10 adopted siblings, so I'll answer that a little bit. I have multiple siblings that are actually Native American, and so my parents have dove into the Native American culture, going to powwows and a whole bunch of other things. And of course, they do have those holiday types of events, and making sure that there was time in that holiday schedule to go to those events, and because it was culturally significant to those adopted siblings of mine that really found, you know, had to connect their identity with that group. And so, yeah, just like Melissa said, just making the time and seeing what's available around you, it can make a huge difference and really enrich your whole family's culture by learning about that and sharing it and integrating it into family traditions you had before they came into your family too. So Kara Sue, you know, any adopted children traditions in addition to your Lithuanian background, and that's the wonderful thing about being in the United States. We have this melting pot of traditions, then we can mix and match them however they best suit our families.
And you get to make your own traditions.
Right.
Like, sometimes we think of traditions as having to have been this thing that continued for many years behind us. But you know, if your family does something and they do it every year, that's your family creating your own tradition. It doesn't have to be something that has like hundreds of years of history behind you. Even just simple things that you do every year that have come to be a part of the holiday can be a tradition. So sometimes I think, like, if when my kids were little, I thought, like, I don't have any family traditions. Like, because my family, we didn't have big traditions. But what I realized is we had traditions. They were just much smaller and much less elaborate than I sometimes saw portrayed from other families' traditions. So I think recognizing that it doesn't have to be a big, elaborate thing to be a tradition, to be a part of your family's holiday celebrations, it can be there and also be something small. But it's something that you do every year that is really meaningful to you. And that's the important part of a tradition.
Right. That really is. And that's a great thing to point out. It's not just something big and like, all-encompassing and sometimes overwhelming. and it can just be those smaller things. And Ginger gives us a great idea. She had said that the last few or many years, I've made framed wall hangings of a variety of Christmas hymns, and each child or grandchild created their own. I printed off the words of the Christmas hymn, and they would glue or color, et cetera, items on the frame or the printed paper of the words. And then each child has a memory of a Christmas song to remember tradition of singing during the holiday. And then for one of the songs, she said, we even did a diorama, and this incorporated history, art, music, and language. What a great idea. Yes.
That's a great idea for sure. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. I like Ginger's other comments too about how traditions were smaller because Pinterest was not around.
Yes.
And that's probably true.
And also Instagram and everything else where you got to make it elaborate.
Yes. In my family too, my mom was a nurse, so she wasn't always around on like the specific holiday days. So we had to have traditions mm-hmm. that were more flexible. We couldn't be like, this is the thing we do every Christmas, because sometimes my mom wasn't there on Christmas because nurses don't get the holidays off like a lot of other jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just build it around what your family does. I know my kids and Kirstie, you brought up the orange sticky buns as symbols of the solstice and the sun. But my kids know that beignets are New Year's Eve or New Year's morning. They expect them. I have to make beignets from scratch. And it's the caramel rolls or sticky buns on Christmas morning. And I'm stuck to that tradition now, like we talked about earlier. And I will be reminded if I don't make them.
Yes.
So think carefully about those.
And when you're creating a family, right, it's kind of when you're married, like your spouse brings in their own traditions too. So we have to figure out how you're going to blend and meld those traditions. My husband mm-hmm. comes from a very strong Dutch background, and for them, it's olijbollen on New Year's. And so I had never even heard of an olijbollen when we got married. Like what in the world is the olijbollen? It's just like a donut thing, like so many cultures have, and it also has raisins and powdered sugar and all of that. But I was like, I don't even know what this is. But it's an important part of the tradition for him,
right? Yeah, and you know, just as we have friends and involved in our traditions and embracing those, or maybe you live in a very culturally diverse neighborhood, teaching your kids how your neighbors celebrate Christmas could even be a whole unit study. Go around, have conversations like Melissa was talking about, or if you visit nursing homes, I know people don't do that as much now after COVID, or if you have those opportunities to talk to the older generation about what they did during the holiday seasons and how that's changed. And
and sometimes too, around Christmas time, if you are religious, sometimes different churches will have Christmas services that are entirely in another language when maybe they don't have the resources to do that the rest of the year. So that's another opportunity that you might be able to look for. And of course, that's different if you're studying the language, but sometimes even just going and listening and watching can be a really interesting experience. Of course, be respectful, right? If you are observing somebody else's cultural traditions, it's important to be respectful in your watching and everything like that. So, but there are lots of opportunities. I think around the holidays, people are willing to share what it is that makes the holidays special and important to them. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's just, somebody invites you to something and normally maybe you would say no, but then maybe this year you take them up on the offer. It's not like anything you've experienced before.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, like, I live in Houston, Texas, where we have an incredibly culturally diverse, and I work with a lot of nonprofits also on a regular basis. And, we have immigrant nonprofits that they reach out to migrants coming, immigrants coming in and helping them. And so their celebrations are, they have a lot of opportunities for you to be able to get involved, even helping in their community. community, serving Thanksgiving meals, around Christmas time, being able to do some giving and getting your kids involved in those types of things during the holidays can be incorporated into your unit study as well, teaching those lessons.
And so, one thing I like to say about giving, and this is just something I want to include, if your Christmas feels too packed and you don't feel like you can do it, maybe sit down and think about another time of year where you can have an opportunity to give. Mm-hmm. Because Christmas is when a lot of people think to give, but oftentimes groups need that help just as much in March and April and the summer. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to burden anyone with adding extra things to their plate. Right. It is like giving is a value of my family and that's important. But sometimes around the Christmas season, it's really busy. And so we try and do it during different times of the year when organizations need the help just as much, but people sometimes think about it a little less.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And Kira Sue said, happy you're talking about cultural diversity on a Christian homeschooling page. Well, God calls us to embrace every culture. And unfortunately, some Christians don't do that well. And we're sorry for that. Yes. Maybe you have gotten that impression that, we can be so closed-minded. But really we're called to love everybody. And, as Christians, we need to show that, not just say it. And then Ginger says, I think the purpose of the unit study around holiday traditions is a wonderful, opportunity to slow down and enjoy the traditions of your family. That's so true. Slow down. Yeah. And we're not talking about adding extra things in, just making it more meaningful and impactful. So Melissa, what are some of the things that your family loves to do as far as traditions, and how have you made those learning experiences in your own home? Kind of get that, those juices going for some of those are thinking, how do we do this? And what does it look like?
Said, we're kind of a minimalist tradition family. Like I said, when my kids were little, I was like, I don't even know if I have any traditions. Mm. But that's because a lot of the things that we do, we don't necessarily even realize that they are traditions for a little while. We put up a Christmas tree every year and that's a tradition, right? But you might not think about it as a tradition because lots of people do it and because it's something that just feels normal to you, but it is a tradition. It's a choice. Right. You don't have to put up that Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that we've done is my husband's family, besides being Dutch, they're also from Canada. So many times we will travel to Canada over the holidays. And then I'm then I don't have a Christmas tree. So what we started doing on the years that we did not have a chance to put up a Christmas tree, like we could have put it up, but when you're traveling for 2 to 3 weeks and I didn't want to take it down before Christmas, but also then I didn't want to take it down after we got back from that big trip. So I was how do I carry forward this tradition?
Right.
So then I got a really big piece of paper on those years when we travel and we draw a Christmas tree. And that gives us a really fun opportunity to practice some art, but we also draw things on the tree that are important to us. We can make it any kind of way
that
we want to make it. And so that's kind of a fun learning art, big involved project that we do, but it's a tradition. It's like a tradition within a tradition, right? Because we only do it when we're traveling over the holidays, and that's our Christmas tree without a tree. And then when the holidays is over, then I can roll it up and I save it. And so I have all the trees on those years that we've made. And you could do that even if you had a real Christmas tree too, or make another big picture of some part of the holidays that's important to you. It doesn't have to be a tree, but then it gives your kids to draw on it the important parts of what they feel like the tradition means to them.
Right.
And we always do probably our biggest tradition is an advent calendar with books. Mm. I know this idea is all over the internet. When we started it, my mother-in-law saw it on Pinterest or wherever.
Pinterest, yes.
She made us a little advent calendar. Out of wood. She's very handy. So that it has little tags for the numbers that we can put onto our books. And then, I wrap them all up. And so then there's, there's books that we like. Some of the books in there are just fun Christmas mm-hmm. books, but some of the books in there also are books that teach about the traditions and why we do them and, mm-hmm. and everything like that. So, it's really exciting for my kids. And even though like one thing that I do to like keep that on the budget is I use books that we already have. I don't go out and buy new books every year. I by now, like between thrift stores and everything, I've amassed enough that I can do every day and even switch it out some years. So I'm not doing the exact same books, but there are some books that we just have to do.
You have to read. Yes, exactly.
Every year. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this one book we have actually from my husband's childhood. This is his Christmas tradition that we incorporated into our new Christmas tradition as a family. And it's a book, with these mice and they have like an audio recording with it and everything. And the mice sing a song about it being Merry Christmas Eve Eve. So we always read that one on Christmas Eve Eve. That's like a fun tradition. And it's a way that we could bring this book from my husband's childhood also into my kids' childhood in a way that was unique to us. So that's another thing about traditions. You can take a tradition from your childhood and you can say, well, I like that tradition, but how does that tradition make sense for our family now? And when your kids are old enough, even asking them about that and asking them to come up with new ideas, you can't measure that in anything, but it's creativity. It's thinking about things and why we do things. And that's, you couldn't write it down and say like, this was this subject, but it's still an important part of the learning process to think about those things that we do and to invite them to think about what they want to do too. And what are the traditions that matter most to them? Because sometimes we are just going along doing things, you know, like we talked about going through the motions and we think these are the parts that are important to our kids. But when we talk to them, we realize it's actually these parts that we were not even considering or thinking about at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. It's the depth. It's getting past the, well, let's checked off the box. We did that one. And there's so much more to it. And if we're purposeful, and I think that's the key, if we focus on these traditions as learning opportunities instead of just that box to check, it's going to have such a greater impact on your holidays because you know why you're doing what you're doing and you're teaching that to your children.
Even just slowing down and telling them, you know, like, we do this because I did this, and like sharing a memory of your experience from when you did it as a child, if it's something you did as a child, or if it's a tradition that you created for your family, explaining to them, because sometimes we just do them and we don't take the time to say like, you know, when I was a little kid, my mom did this for me, your grandma did this for me, and it always made me feel so warm and cozy inside, so that's now why I do it with you. And that, like, sometimes we think of, there's, like, big history, right, which is the stuff that happened, and it happened to lots of people and everything like that, but it's also the little history of your own family and your own traditions, and even just thinking and talking about that with your family helps your kids to understand past events and how they affect other people, even just within a small section of people.
And that family history is so important. Yeah. You know, talking about generations before us, and it's that, like Ginger said, that storytelling that we lose so much sight of. Our kids are so enthralled with videos and, you know, games and all of this, that our families have those engaging components about them that we forget to, that we need to be the conveyors of that. And this is such a special time of year that we can embrace that and share that with our kids.
Yes, when I was in college, I ended up getting this assignment about writing about women in my family. And I called up my grandma and I asked her all of these questions. And she told me stories that I had no idea about, I had never heard of before. And I saw this like whole new side of my grandma. And I think sometimes, especially for young kids, especially if it's relatives that they don't see a lot, it can be hard. It's hard for kids to realize that they had a past before they were their grandma or their grandpa or their other family member, that they like existed as a person beyond just who they are to you. And so holidays can present a really good opportunity for asking your relatives, especially your older relatives who may not be around as long, about the traditions that they celebrated when they were growing up, about what parts of Christmas and other holidays were important to them, because they might celebrate traditions that just never carried on into the future. So it's an opportunity to ask and to learn and to not only build that bonding, but have a deeper appreciation of them as people, because you don't know a lot about them like outside of who they are with you. And when you're a little kid, it's hard to imagine. It's like when you were a little kid and you would see like a teacher in the store, and you never thought before about how like they
had a life.
Grocery shopping, right?
Exactly.
Sometimes that can happen with relatives that we don't see as often.
Yeah, it's very true. Kids.
You don't think that one time a long time ago, your grandma was also the same age as you were, and what was important to her when she was that age.
And what a perfect time of year to be bringing that up and sharing those stories and being intentional to do that. I think it is it just should be a reminder for us when we start thinking family traditions about just the more encompassing big picture that we can give our children during this time of year.
And if you don't have older relatives in your life, you may have other people in your life who are like family, but not blood related. And you know, you can always ask them, or you can always invite them to share your traditions with you. It doesn't have to be just people that you are related to by blood. There are other people around you who might love to be incorporated into your family holiday celebration, who might not have other people in their lives to ask them. And so keeping your eyes open for those opportunities too can be really wonderful to create new traditions and new memories with other people that you care about.
Absolutely. Well, we are wrapping up our time, and I would love, Melissa, for you to talk about some of the resources that you have, including a guide or workbook on this exact subject that you have to share with our viewers. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I created a little workbook for you to help you. It's a really, I want to say, it's a no stress kind of workbook. It just helps you to start thinking about what traditions you have. And it has a bunch of different examples of different subject areas in there to help you think about how you might incorporate different subject areas, and some brainstorming sheets, and also some writing prompts for your kids. If you have older kids, or you just have younger kids that you want to think about, to have those ideas there for them to write about their traditions and get some writing practice in that way. And I wanted to say that very soon I'm going to be running a promotion, and you'll be able to get that for free. So if you sign up for my newsletter now, you'll have all the details. I can't share all the details yet today, but within the next few weeks, there's an opportunity where I'm going to be giving that away for free. But if you're listening to this next year, or in December, or farther on, I did create a special coupon code, Empower, and that gets you 50% off the creating a unit study out of your family traditions.
And it's very inexpensive already. Yes. So thank you for doing that, Melissa, because I know it's one less thing that we have to do, is try to find, you know, brainstorming sheets and all those things.
Yes.
So if you're listening on the podcast and you can't see the screen and see Melissa's website, it's pockethomeschool.com, and it's spelled just like you would spell pocket for your pants or shirt, pockethomeschool.com. And so what else you got on your website that parents can take advantage of too?
I have a lot of other principles, a lot of other unit studies. If you like unit studies, I have some what I think are kind of unique topics like Mozart and wetlands and some other different unit studies. And I also, if you really want some more personalized support, I do have a membership called the Smart Homeschool Society. Awesome. And in there, I do workshops and I send out text encouragement and other things like that to really help you feel supported in your homeschool. Really reasonably priced for everything that you get. Mm-hmm. And so that's an option to, if you want some more, just some more support in your journey that's really personalized and connected to you, like a mentor or a friend to walk along with you in your homeschooling journey. And that's an option to join too. But I always suggest, if you can't do that, at least join my newsletter, because it's free. Yeah. And every Friday I send out 5 things you can use in your homeschool. I always keep it under 500 words and I call it 5 for Friday. So it's just there to be resources for you. So that's the best way to stay connected with me. And the sign up is just on my homepage there that you can find it. And that's a great way if you want to stay connected with me. I send out all sorts of ideas all the time about who knows, anything goes. I've put in so many random ideas in there. I'm just like, oh, this week we're going to have some books. This week we're going to have some videos. This week we're going to have some science. Oh, cool. You never really know. This week we're going to have some encouragement for you in your homeschool journey, because I really, like, my heart is really in encouraging, because I want homeschooling to be joyful for people. And I think it should be a good experience for you and your family. And I want to help make it that way.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And Melissa is an idea person. If you haven't figured that out from this broadcast, you know, you have to listen to the one she did a while back with me on library resources, but she has so many good ideas. So definitely get tapped into her newsletter. You'll be amazed at what you learn and all the ideas that she has. So thank you, Melissa, for just sharing on this and really kicking off our unit studies for the holidays. Centered around what's so important, you know, it's our families. And what a way
to. Thank you so much, Peggy, for having me. I really enjoyed being on here. It's always a great time to be with you. And I love that we had so many people commenting today. So thanks to everyone who participated in our conversation. You added so much value to it, and I appreciate that.
Yes. And we so much encourage you to get involved in these conversations. If you've only been listening on the podcast, I do encourage you to pop on. We go live on Tuesdays from 12:30 to 1:30 Central most of the time. Check out our schedule. There are usually some tweaks and changes. Next week, actually, I'm having 2 broadcasts, one on Tuesday and one on Thursday. The reason for that is because my guest on Thursday had been a guest scheduled for August, and then she got sick and we had to reschedule her. But she's one of your favorites. It's Dr. Jan Bedell, who is also the vice chair of the SPED Homeschool Board of Directors. She is a neurodevelopmentalist, and we are going to be talking about neurodevelopmental strategies for meeting IEP goals. We're finally getting around to that topic. So yay. But then the regular broadcast that we're doing next week is unit studies, and we're going to talk about holiday unit study ideas with a panel of three members. So you're going to get just a boatload of ideas. If you're thinking, no, maybe we don't want to do family traditions this year, we want to try something else. Well, you're going to get a lot of ideas next week that'll probably keep you going till your kids graduate from high school. but we just want to give you as many ideas as we can so that it just fits your family and your needs. And we know that's unique for each of you. So, awesome. Well, keep up the great work, Melissa. We are just encouraged every time that you're on here, and just excited to be able to help our parents to find your resources and all of your creative ideas for them. So thanks so much. And like Melissa said, thank you all for joining and being part of this conversation. This broadcast is sponsored by viewers like you. And we at Empowering Homeschool Conversations just want to make sure that you get the resources that you need. So this is an outreach ministry of our nonprofit, SPED Homeschool. You can go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home. And to help fund our nonprofit outreach to families, home educating diverse learners, you can click donate or go to our donate page to find out more. And as we're approaching the end of the year, we're looking for funding into the next year. And also we're going to do a big fundraiser towards the end of the year. We're going to be raising scholarship funds for families who want to attend our camp next year. And so be looking for that opportunity too. We blessed so many families last year that came live in person, and we're looking at repeating that event and even adding one to two more camps next year. And so it does get to be a little costly for some of our parents, and any help that they can get with scholarships is well appreciated. So and Ginger says, thanks, Melissa and Peggy. You are welcome. Thank you for joining us today, Ginger. And the rest of you, we'll see you same time, same place next week. Until then, take care and God bless everybody, and have a great week.
I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God looks at your heart, not your gene size. Do you know the verses, yet still stress over your body? Oh, I get it. I was raised in church, but I struggled with food, eating disorders, and my body for decades. I'm Heather Creekmore, host of the Compare To podcast, where we talk about all things body image and comparison from a biblical perspective. We get real about the pressure to focus on appearance in a culture where looks seem to matter most. Whether you're wrestling wrinkles or battling the scale, Compare To is the show for you. You'll laugh a little and be encouraged a lot. If you're ready to stop comparing and start living, visit lifeaudio.com to listen and subscribe.